I want to talk to you about Jim Stockdale. Admiral Jim Stockdale was a pilot in 1965 flying over North Vietnam. He was shot down, and he wound up in the Hanoi Hilton, which is a lovely, lovely place for prisoners of war, where they had the privilege of being tortured and abused. The Vietnamese did not abide by the Geneva Convention. The Geneva Convention, which was held in 1906 and then again in 1929, said that prisoners of war should not be treated as criminals. They should be granted certain rights, certain privileges. They should be granted food, shelter, access to mail service, health care, those kinds of things. Well, the Vietnamese did not bother to subscribe to those principles, so they abused these prisoners horribly. Jim Stockdale, during the 8 years that he was in prison, was tortured over 20 times. His fellow prisoners of war were also tortured endless times. Jim Stockdale was asked, you know, how did you survive 8 years of emotional, mental, and physical torture? And he made an interesting response to that question. He said, really three things. Number one is, I never lost hope that I would get out. Some way, somehow, I would prevail. Secondly, I never denied my circumstances. The brutality that I had to deal with, the challenges, the hardships, I never denied them. And thirdly, because I believed that I would prevail, I mustered all of my resources toward surviving. What do I need to do to address the brutal reality that I'm in? So that's how he survived. Then another question was asked Admiral Stockdale. The question was, who didn't survive? And he had a very surprising answer. His answer was, the optimist. Now, that really kind of runs the wrong way with us, because we think being optimistic is great. You know, that's the whole thing, you know, the power of positive thinking and being positive about life and where we are. What he was saying, though, he wasn't saying it's not, you don't want to be positive. He was saying, if you tend to be too optimistic, you tend to live in denial. You don't face reality. So what happened is the optimist, they'd come along and they would say, you know, we're going to be out of here by Christmas. Okay? And the next guy would say, we'll be out of here by Easter. We'll be out of here by Thanksgiving. So here comes Christmas, and they're still there. Here comes Thanksgiving, they're still there. Here comes Easter, they're still there. Now, what do you think it did to the spirits of those optimists? It destroyed those spirits. They lost hope, and they died. But Stockdale and the people he had influence over, they were marshaling all of their resources to deal with a brutal reality. For example, torture was very common. The Vietnamese, I think they enjoyed it. Plus, they were trying to get information. So Stockdale knew they were all going to be tortured. So how do we deal with torture? So he came up with a system. He said, nobody can endure torture forever. There's going to be a breaking point. So what we'll do is we'll have steps. After X number of minutes, you can tell them this. After Y number of minutes, you can tell them this. After Z number of minutes, you can tell them this. So he developed a hierarchy that gave them some structure, some way to survive the ordeal. Mm-hmm. They knew if I can just get through 5 minutes, then I can tell them this, and that may give me some relief. You know, if I can just get through another 5 minutes, then I can tell them this. So that order and structure gave them hope. And then one of the other things the Vietnamese did was try to isolate them. How many of you have lived in an environment where you've been essentially isolated, where there's no conversation? Nobody to communicate with you. Some of you have lived that way in marriages, where there's no conversation in the marriage. Okay? It's not fun, is it? No, it's not fun. It doesn't work very well. Now think about this. You're in a cell, and you don't have any contact with the outside world. You're in a cell by yourself. You know, hour after hour after hour, no contact, no communication. Well, Stockdale knew that that would just break people down, so he came up with a system of communication. He developed a 5x5 matrix, and, you know, basically you put the alphabet A, B, C, D across the top, and in fact, each of the boxes had a letter in it, and you assign taps to each letter. T tap, tap was an A. Tap, tap, pause, tap was a B. So everybody learns this tapping system. And so now, let's say you're outside, you're on duty, you're mopping the floor. With your mop, you can tap out messages. And those in isolation and confinement can hear those taps, and effectively you've established a communication link. So what Stockdale did was took the brutal reality and said, it's here, I've got to deal with it, and I'm going to take every ounce of creativity and every resource I've got, and I'm going to deal with this brutal reality. Okay? Now, why do I tell you the story? I'm telling you the story because I think there's a parallel for us. Yes, now none of us are prisoners of war. We're not deprived of food. Okay? I don't think any of us are physically beaten. Some of us may be emotionally beaten, but generally we're in pretty good shape. We're not really anywhere near where the prisoners of war in Vietnam were. But there is still a comparison. Because just as those men faced the tyranny and the fear and the uncertainty of not knowing what was coming, we have a lot of fear and uncertainty in this country today. Mm-hmm. We have fear in our jobs. We have fear in the economy. We have fear in the stock market. We have fear associated with the war, and what does that mean? We have fear of terrorism. You know, our czar of Homeland Security is on the radio, it seems like, or TV, just about every day talking to us about duct tape, you know? Now, to me, duct tape is something you put on a duct system, but now it's something we put on windows because we're worried about biological contamination. So we've got all this fear going on. So how do we deal with this? Well, we can become the optimist, and we can deny the reality and just, you know, everything's going to be great by Christmas, and we live in unreality. Or we can take the position that some way, somehow, we are going to prevail. In the power of God, we are going to prevail somehow. I don't know how, but we are. And the brutal reality is we got all these circumstances about us. We got unemployment that's rising. Our national debt, do you know what our national debt is now? It's about $6.4 trillion. Did you know that our entitlement programs, Social Security and Medicare, are supposedly underfunded to the tune of $18 trillion. So we've got massive federal debt to deal with. We've got foreclosures rising rapidly because people don't have the ability to pay their mortgages anymore. We've got a stock market that doesn't have a clue what to do. Okay? And you've got this war out there, and nobody knows what's going to happen. I mean, my goodness, is it going to be a cakewalk into Baghdad? Or are we going to have a huge, horrible fight? Are we going to have biological warfare going on? Is Israel going to get drawn into this thing? Is it going to be just a total powder keg over there? And what does that mean? What kind of financial drain could that be? How long could it take? There's all kinds of unknowns. So that's the brutal reality. So the question is, what do we do? Right? And that's the charge today. We've got to face these facts, and we've got to take all the creative energy that's in this room, it's in our sphere of influence, and we've got to come together and try to answer these questions. Now, all of us in Dallas, Texas, tend to be lone rangers. Everybody agree with that? We try to live life pretty much by ourselves. And when we live life by ourselves, that means that when we come to a problem, the only thing we have is our perspective. Okay? And there's all these other different perspectives that can be brought to bear. Now think about the power that happens when all of us come together to solve the same problem. All the diverse gifts and perspectives are brought to bear. Do you think you might come up with a better solution that way than trying to do it by yourself? Aren't you grateful that the President of the United States does not try to run this country by himself? I'm grateful. Because as much as I trust him and believe in him, he's one man with only his perspective. He's got to have help. We need help. We need each other to come together and help each other discern the best answers to the problems we face. So the question is, in light of the brutal reality of where we are, in light of the circumstances of where you are personally, what am I going to do different today to deal with it, to better deal with it, knowing that I am going to prevail? I'm going to get to the other side, some way, somehow. I don't know how, that I know coupled together with other people and depending upon each other, we're going to make it. So what is the one thing I'm going to do different in light of that thinking today? And this is a tactical thought for you to consider. When I was in the mechanical business, we had a consultant come in, and he challenged us every year to look at our company and to identify the weak points of the company and to purpose and to determine to take those weak points and make them strengths. So if you begin to do that every year, identify your weaknesses, turn them into strengths. Over and over again you do that. What happens after 5 or 6 years? You have got a lot of strength in your company. Okay? Andy Pearson, Hugh Cunningham, pointed out an article to me recently about him. He's now the CEO of Yum Brands. Yum Brands has Kentucky Fried Chicken, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, those kinds of products. He used to be a ruthless CEO when he was at PepsiCo. He's now 75 years old at Yum Brands, and he's a totally different person. Okay? He's discovered that the reality of what it means to be a CEO is finding who's supposed to be on your team and removing every impediment, you know, that would keep them from being all they're supposed to be. Okay? That's what he does now. And that's one of the reasons Yum Brand is really prospering, is he really is focusing on developing good teams. Another practice he has is the very thing that we did at the mechanical company. And he quantifies it. He takes the bottom 20% of his company, the bottom 20% of the performers, and that's his target. I'm going to turn those 20% either into great performers or they're not supposed to be on this bus with me. And that's okay. If they're not supposed to be on the bus, let's let them go find the bus they're supposed to be on, because they have value. You know, they just may be in the wrong place. So we're going to let them go find that right place. Every year I'm doing that. The bottom 20% is my target. I'm going to turn that weakness into a strength. So great companies do things like this. This is the time to sharpen the plow. This is, if you look at it from the standpoint of seasons, what season do you think we're in? We're in winter. This is winter. What does a farmer do during the winter? He sharpens the plow. He greases the tractor. Okay? He gets the implements ready for spring, because spring is when you start planting. So we're going to be going into spring soon. I don't know when it's coming, but it's coming. Okay? We need to sharpen the plow. Look at our organizations very critically and determine what we need to get ready to take advantage of the spring and then the summer harvest to come.